Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moon, New, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, and Joan Adams and I host this show. Our guest this evening is Amy Flynn, a.k.a. All About Energy. We will be discussing what she calls the alchemy of time. Time is such a subjective phenomenon. Sometimes it goes fast, sometimes it goes slow, and sometimes it doesn't seem to exist at all. Amy lives in what I would call an infinite time zone. I've decided. Maybe she can teach us how she does it. Ulysses, my dog, just loves Amy, and he's been waiting for her to come on the show. And as usual, he has this electric look about him about 15 minutes before she comes on. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams.
And good afternoon.
Hello, Joan. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Anxious to learn how to control, how to manage my time so that I see it differently.
I know.
That's a puzzle.
Amy is offering she'll describe it. It's some sort of a e-class or well, she'll tell us all about it because I'm going to take it. I just haven't signed up for it yet. Okay, here she is.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hello. Hi. How are
nice
you?
Nice to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And
always.
I know Ulysses is so excited. I could feel his energy. He's just been waiting and waiting, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And he was alone some of the day today, which is unusual, but... And then when I came home, I threw the stick in the river about 10 million times, and now he's just staring at me. Where is she?
How funny. Tell him I'm here. I'm here. Hi, Ulysses.
Hey, Ulysses. Well, the thing is, I've been telling him to, oh, yes, here. I was kind of searching for him. He's lying under the table. He's all wet, and he's staring at me. I knew his eyes were somewhere.
You found him?
He's right there. I couldn't find him. He was sort of hiding behind a chair.
Oh, okay. He's anxious to experience puppyhood again.
Yes. So you're going to take him through time. But you're going to tell us, what are you offering? Tell us your alchemy of time.
It's a teleseminar, which means it's a live call, and it's a seminar, and it's going to be led by the non-physical collective. You've spoken to the collective, and the collective were on the show the last time, and they'll probably come through this time since they're the ones that really know about, you know, all these things with time. And Ulysses loves them also, and they, because they're non-physical source energy, they don't experience time as we do. And basically, for those that aren't familiar, the collective is like my Abraham. It's my larger part. It's the part of me that is always in source, that is not here, so therefore not restricted by my five senses. Because the way that we perceive time here is through our five senses and through the world of duality, and time is linear. And really, time is not linear. Time really is something that we've made up. If you think about it, when life first started on this planet, they didn't arrive here with little watches and time dials and sundials and say, okay, it takes us exactly 3 ant minutes to walk from here to here. It was made up as we went as a measuring device for our increments of moments. And somehow along the way, this measuring device that we made up for our increments of moments has started to rule our life, so much so that we feel often that we don't have any freedom. We feel like we're caught in this time. We were at this time, we have to do that. That time, we have to do that. The alarm goes off for this time, and then we got to be here at that time. And it's like our whole life is stuffed into these time, you know, times.
Yeah.
And it's amazing for something that is made up, you know, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Everything's structured around it.
Yeah,
it's there's a time clock. I always get amazed by that. You know, I have to be there 5 minutes before the hour, and I can stretch it to, you know, getting there at the hour. But
right.
If I'm late, you know, they act like the time clock Nazis, you know.
Right. Right, and you know, here you got your time clock, and your time clock is set, and your time clock can be, you know, wrong, and it's, and when you think about the whole larger concept, it's set, and it's something that's measuring something that is man-made up.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole life is being controlled by something that we made up. It's like one day you woke up and you decided that you were going to measure everything, and everyone had to abide by purple stripes. And they had to live their life between purple stripes. So, you know, you went out and you painted purple stripes on everything, and you told everyone that they had to live between the purple stripes and move from purple stripe to purple stripe. And that was it. I mean,
it's hysterical.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, when you think about it.
I mean, it could be any arbitrary thing, anything at all.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
could be. And we've made it really significant, and so, you know, what this Time Alchemy teleseminar is going to do, at least how I envision it, I'm not the one that's actually going to be delivering it. I know the collective have a lot of surprises. I've got some ideas on what they're going to do, and I'll share that in a minute. But it's really to show us, you know, that this is randomly made up, and how we can be, how we can live our lives not so boxed in by this time, how time can become more of a tool, you know. It's
of liberation,
like,
maybe.
A tool of liberation. And what I expect the collective to do, from what I've sensed and what I've gotten, is to do several processes. They love processes. And take everybody into the experience of slowing down time, maybe even stopping time. And since time is something that's perceived, that should not be that difficult, you know, and also the experience of simultaneous time. And I know that everybody, or a lot of people, most aware people, are experiencing the sense of time speeding up. Everything's moving faster. And it's because, you know, as we're going into this new shift of consciousness, you want to call it, this moving up in the frequency of human awareness and consciousness on the planet, and higher vibration, higher dimensions, lower density, time feels like it's moving faster. Really, it was clarified to me, and this totally resonated with me, and I get this is what it is. I just had never articulated this, is that time isn't really speeding up. It's collapsing. It's collapsing in on itself, like into a single point of singularity, because real, true time is simultaneous time. And as we move forward in our evolution towards what we call the fifth dimension, or a higher frequency, time exists as simultaneous there. So we would be living past, present, future all at once. And I've actually experienced this, which you probably wouldn't surprise you since you know I experience a lot of odd things. But I've experienced past, present, future all at once a couple times in my life. And I actually also experienced it combined with, I guess you could say, parallel lives or parallel realities, which was really a doozy.
Mm.
And that was several years back. I actually experienced being in my bedroom and sitting there, and all of a sudden, it was like dimly lit, seeing in the same space I was what I would call past, like colonial times,
mm-hmm.
happening. Like they were having like some kind of like gathering or some sort, meeting, dance, I guess, because everyone was dressed up, you know. And it was right there in my space, and it was a different time, and it was a different reality. And I remember just sitting there with my mouth hanging open watching it, and there was, like, no awareness that I was sitting there in the same space watching this, you know. And I could see the room that they were in, or, the hall that they were in, whatever it was. I could see, you know, where they were. And it was like it was superimposed on the space I was in. It wasn't like my room vanished or anything. My room was still there. It was just everything was just happening all at once, and it was just amazing. It was just phenomenal.
did you actually feel that you were a part of that reality at some time or even at that moment?
No, I didn't. I felt like it was going on at the same time as my reality, and all of a sudden I just slipped. It was like the frequencies that divided us. It was like tuning into two different stations overlapping on a dial type of thing, you know, and like if you, like the radio dial, the old kind where you turn the knob, not the digital kind because they don't do it so much, but the old kind you can catch a couple of times, you can catch two stations coming in at the same time, sometimes even more. It was that type of feeling.
Is
and all of a sudden
similar?
I caught that. Yeah.
Yeah, too, like rushing to be somewhere and praying for time to stretch. Have you ever
mm-hmm.
done that? And you like lift above it. You come above the time.
Yeah. I've actually slowed it down. I've used an image in my mind. I used to do this a lot when I was in Florida and I was having to drive somewhere and there's a fair amount of traffic. And I knew that I didn't have any extra time to get there. I was like, I had less time than I probably needed. I would visualize in my mind as I'm going a clock, a giant clock, and I would
mm-hmm.
imagine that I'm pulling on the hands on the clock and just holding them so that they can't advance. And what happened, it was like I would just like hold them, like with all my weight. It was like I was little and the clock was huge and I'm like hanging on these giant hands, holding them so that they can't move forward. And it was a funny visualization. And the whole time I'm driving too. So, anyway, what happened is it was as if time did not advance.
Right.
It was interesting. It was like it stopped. It was I had more time. It was like I had extra minutes. It was like the minutes didn't progress. It was very
mm-hmm.
cool. So I learned that as a little technique.
Yeah.
Interesting call that you guys are going to do. You and the collective, you guys are going to do. Well,
that's all right. I call them you guys all the time. They don't like it.
I'll never forget the time. Now, this is odd. I used to work as at Planned Parenthood doing exams at one location, and then it took about 20 minutes to get to another location to do some more work. And strangely enough, one night it took 5 hours to get from one place to another. I have and the woman I am with was with, I should say, had no recollection of what happened in that time.
Wow.
Now, everybody I know say, so I walk in and the place was closed.
Did you have a recollection of what happened in that time?
No recollection. So
you didn't either?
No, I had no recollection and she had no recollection. So
wow.
I get to work and my boss, who was a punitive leadership style person, and aren't they all, comes
mm-hmm.
over to me and says, "Where were you?" Like, you know, this was it. The axe was going to drop. And I said, "I have no idea." I was being honest. I didn't come up with any excuses. She goes, "Oh, okay." She walks away, and that was the end of it. I mean it. And so everybody I know says, oh, you were abducted by a UFO.
That's exactly the thought that I had, too. That's something.
I have no recollection of it. None. And,
yeah.
Well,
something interfered with your concept of time during that. And since the world is run by this concept of time and the minutes march on, so to speak, you know, the fake minutes march on falsely, so to speak, really, you stepped outside of that somehow for some reason. Something brought you outside of that for what was, you know, in the agreed upon time increments, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's interesting. You have no recollection of anything, though.
None.
I guess the little green guys didn't make a lasting impression.
and she, you would think she would have, she was just as blown away, this woman I was with was just as blown away as I was about not having any recollection about it. And oddly enough, this is another part of that story, not too long afterwards, she was accused of embezzling large amounts of money from Planned Parenthood. And,
wow.
Interestingly enough, she didn't go to trial, and nothing happened. I personally could never believe that she would, and she just sort of disappeared.
She disappeared.
I swear to God, that was just as strange as everything else.
Wow.
So I have no idea. I just don't know. And that's the good thing, not to even try to pretend that you know.
Yeah.
You can't pretend to know anything.
No.
If something like time rules your life, which doesn't exist, how can you possibly know anything?
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
Bizarre.
That's very true. You really can't. And that's such a perfect example. And obviously, you're telling this, you're sharing this with the boss, it resonated in such a way that she just got it. You know, she must have felt something because she just accepted it. And when you think about it, someone saying, I have absolutely no idea, you know, that's a pretty weak reason for why you're 5 hours late, you know.
I know, for a job you were supposed to be at and doing. And
right.
You would think that I would have been fired.
Yeah.
And it was just so bizarre. I just have never been able to figure it out. And nobody else, I mean, UFOs is a possibility, I guess.
Well, don't you think, too, there are things that we just won't ever know the answers to? You just,
yeah.
I do.
You just accept some stuff. You know?
Yeah, but what's so interesting about all this is that, we just do need to just accept these things. And it really shows us that, you know, time is just this thing that we have just made real. That, and it suggests that, hey, maybe it's really not so real after all. Maybe it's just, you know. And that's the whole thing with it is to, and that's what I really hope more than anything, that this time alchemy seminar, time alchemy teleseminar brings to people and creates for people is a sense of wonder and a sense of, you know, really getting into, you know, this time isn't so fixed, it's not so defined, it's not so real. It's really fluid, and our concept of it is really made up. People get very stressed out over time, and it's like they're getting stressed out over the purple lines, you know. It's just, it's that ridiculous.
They're stressed out because they think it's real.
Yeah, and because the world works, you know, runs by it and makes it so important, you know, when it really isn't. You know, it's really the equivalent of making the purple lines real. And to us, that sounds so silly. But you know something? If you think about it, the time thing is really that silly.
Yeah. Yes. It really is.
Yeah.
How about the concept of probabilities, where, let's say, you come to a fork in the road, or, you know, metaphorically, where... you could go one way, and you have a desire to go that way, but you don't, and you go another way. And I have heard it said that the way that you haven't gone is just as real as the way you choose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In our experience, in our what we experience, we create as we live it. So in other words, we make it real. We make it manifest, I guess could be the right word. We make it visible, feelable, touchable, experienceable, if that's a word, within our five senses by actually living it, by actually being there. You know, it's what they call also the observer effect. So everything is as real as anything else. It's just that we are a part of it. In other words,
yes.
In order for it to be real tangibly, we have to be there. Someone's got to be there to feel it, touch it, taste it. So that leads to the question of what is real? Is real the physical stuff that we consider to be real because we can taste it, touch it, smell it, you know, walk on it, whatever? Or is real the stuff that precedes all that, kind of the fluid potential energy before it turns into something? You know, because that doesn't need anybody to be there to make it be and make it, you know, exist. Whereas the manifested stuff does very much need a participant there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm more inclined to, and from my experience, my life experience and unusual experience files, I can say and would, I don't know if say is the right word, but would, for lack of a better word, say that what is real is not this material stuff. What is real is the potential energy, the fluidity, the potential of everything. That's what is really real. The rest of the stuff just kind of shows up because we are here. So, and then on top of that, we have created increments to measure it in. So we've got a reality that we've created that is a, I guess you could say, a relative reality, because everything is relative to something else, and the reality we experience is relative to us. Take us out of the picture, and that reality is not there.
Yeah.
And then we make up these increments in which to live it and measure it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of makes us sound a little, like, really a little odd, doesn't it? Makes you wonder, you know, how the other species are doing on the rest of the planets and the other galaxies, and if they've done the same thing.
I wonder.
Yeah, I wonder too.
What does the collective say about that?
Well, my feeling is that no, they haven't. Most of the, unless they're at the same level, I guess you could say, same vibrational frequency dimension that we're at. Otherwise, no, they haven't, because they're beyond it. They are experiencing what we're calling time as no time or simultaneous time, because they're experiencing much more of what's real. They also don't experience themselves as dense beings with dense bodies. And everything within their world is much more fluid, much more of energy and light than is ours. And we're evolving in that direction. I mean, all evolution moves in a certain direction. No one evolves backwards. It's always going in one direction. That's why it's evolving, not devolving. So, you know, that's where we're heading. And so it's totally appropriate that we have these inquiries and these conversations and these looks into things that we've taken and accepted as so real and solid as time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the perfect time, to do that.
Yes. What is the webpage or the URL of your teleseminar?
It's pretty easy. It's well, of course, the HTTP dot, you know, / or colon /, and then it's the word time, T-I-M-E, dot, money, Reiki, healing, .com. So I'll spell it, time, dot, M-O-N-E-Y, R-E-I-K-I, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, .com.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I have a feeling, just a feeling, since, I mean, I'm not the one that's, you know, preparing what to say and I, you know, whatever. But I do know what the collective's other calls and events have done for people and the impression that they've made and the openings they've created for people, that this is going to really open something up in people's lives for them and really shift them in a big way.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about it. I'm really...
May 13th is a Thursday, okay? And
right.
It's at 9:30 and 6:30, like 6:30 Pacific and 9:30 Eastern.
That's, yes, yes. It's a week from this coming Thursday.
Nice.
So so 2 days and 1 week. And
this is a wonderful thing that you've written up here. Go ahead. Unfortunately.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Here it is. It's our friend. Time. It's our friend. It's our enemy. It's our blessing. It's our curse. We don't understand it. We can't control it. We can't stop it. We can't rush it until now. Welcome to the exciting, groundbreaking Time Alchemy Power Seminar. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the promise that I'm getting it's going to deliver. So,
2222. That's my number.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll be signing up for this. So,
2222 is your number? How exciting. I love that number.
2222 is my number. I like whenever I put anything up for sale on the Internet, which isn't that often because I don't know how to do it very well. it's only $22 because it's just my number. Joan's number is 44.
Oh, see, my more of my number is 33,
oh,
but I've always
goodness.
Liked 22 also.
I am
Thanks
born
to 33.
I'm a 33.
You like the 33?
I was born on March the 3rd.
Who was?
I was.
Oh, okay.
So 33, 1951 adds up to a 22.
Okay.
I like that.
So you're a 33 and a 22.
Yes, and then Joan, riding around with Joan all over South Carolina, everywhere we look, 4-4, 4-4, 4-4. Every now and then I'd see a 2-2, but my God, you guys really bring 4-4 into your reality.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That is great.
Me for years. Yeah, that is absolutely, it's going to be there. Always is.
Wow.
Always.
See, I've always had a lot of 3-3s around me. Now, I also I've been getting more 4-4s. I don't get that many 2-2s, to be honest. I really don't. But I was guided to make this one 2-2-2-2, which is interesting. But I do see a ton of 3-3-3-3s, and I've really been seeing a lot more 4-4-4-4s, which is very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
You call it an angel blessing, Joan does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, angel blessing or angel communication or
mm-hmm.
something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a sign of connection.
It tells me that I'm where I belong. That's how it feels to me. It's all is well. All is well and all is well.
Yes, yes. That's a great way of interpreting it. I love it.
I absolutely love it. It's done.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
in.
It's I'm in. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I know. I have been obsessed by time all of my life. I can't explain it. One time I went to see my mother, whom I hadn't seen in a long time, and I thought I could manipulate time by buying a watch. And I had the watch on, and I look at it every now and then just to make sure. Well, like you said, you had said something about hanging on to it, you know, hanging on to that time.
Right.
And that's what I was doing because I didn't want that time to end. And, of course, it did or maybe it didn't. That's another thing. You know, does it really end? It really doesn't. So I bought the watch, and every now and then I think a watch kind of helps you tune into time, to become aware of it, to find – but once again, it's irrelevant because it doesn't exist. It's so confusing.
Right. What a watch does and any time measuring device does is it speaks in the language of the false increments as opposed to the real language of what's really there. See, what's really, really here, and most people can't wrap their mind around this. This is what's really interesting. But I've experienced this, and I've sensed it, and then I've also read it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, that is absolutely so. Everything is simultaneous time. We are, right now, creating the world. The world was not birthed billions of years ago. The universe is birthed. It's happening right now. Right now. It's all happening now. The reason why we think it was billions of years ago and we call it that is because we have this belief in this concept of time and the concept of a past and then a linear progression of moments. And if all that is blown away and said, no, that's not what it is, there is no linear progression of moments. There are moments, but they're all simultaneous. So what you think of as the past is happening right now. What you're thinking of as not yet happened in the future is happening right now. And that's why people that have the ability to not get stuck in this illusion of time can so-called travel to the future. They're not traveling to the future. They're experiencing another dimension of what's already here. It's already here. Now, people can argue and say, but things aren't set in stone. You know, we can interface with things. We can interact with things, and there's many opportunities and many choices. Yes, that's true, and that's what's called parallel realities and many, many realities layered over many, many others. Remember, Source, which is really what we are Source, is an incredibly powerful, capable, fully conscious and aware, magnificent being with absolutely no limitations. We create and make up these limitations as humans within our human mind, and actually that's part of the intention, so as to experience being limited and experience things from this point of view, and as if we existed only in this dimension. We don't exist only in the dimension that we know, which is the third/fourth dimension. We exist in all of them, but we don't know that. We don't experience that in our moments. We experience the certain dimensions that we exist in. Though more and more people, as we're getting closer to this new, this change in the frequency on the planet, this moving upward, this evolution and shift here, are experiencing moments that are beyond the dimensions that they're used to living. They're just not necessarily sure what to make of them. So they just kind of think of them as wow experiences as opposed to ordinarily experiences. What?
When things are synchronistic, the number thing, you know, like we have Mary McManus here in the chat room, and she is saying that just the number thing, same numbers that you love. She says her number today is 11. She found a dime and a penny today as she opened her car door. So she focused in on that vibration of 11. And to me, when you get into synchronistic happenings, when you think about somebody or ESP or whatever, you think about somebody and they call, or you're thinking about something intense and the information comes to you in different ways. And that synchronicity is a validation of the fact that time is simultaneous, or that it is a gift, and all these things are much more dimensional than linear time and so forth.
Multidimensional, yes, or yes. And it's also pure evidence of, if you really get into it and really experience it, that you're all of it. There's really no such thing as synchronicity. What it is you connecting with another part of you, accessing a part of you, and calling forth another part of yourself. So, in other words, if you send a thought out or you think about someone and then they call you, really what you're doing is you are thinking about you, and then that part of you comes into your awareness, and voila, there it is. But because you're living in what you're, and your perception is limited to the dimensions that we're living in, and you're currently existing in the human experience, you don't experience it that way. You experience yourself and other. And so therefore you experience, oh, someone just called me because I thought of them. Wow. I mean, telepathy is the most natural thing in the world. If there's only one being, one fully conscious awareness that exists really overall, then why wouldn't there be telepathy in your body? Don't your feet communicate with your brain? You don't have to sit there, and they don't have to sit there and make an appointment to talk to the brain or send a message or an email or make a phone call. It's just automatic. It's just flow. It just happens. It's the same thing. It's very automatic. It's just that within our awareness, it's as if we are the big toe, and we think, oh, we have to talk to the brain. It's all the way up there. We might as well write a big elaborate prayer so it hears us so that we can step forward. I mean, essentially, that's what we as humans do, you realize. And so then we construct our lives and we make time for meditation and praying so that the brain can hear us and we're able to then take a step. Mm-hmm. Or it knows to take us out of the shoe that's pinching us, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can think as big as you want, as unlimited as you want, and you can also think as limited and as small as you want. But I will tell you that thinking bigger and unlimited feels better, and when you do it, you're going to notice that your heart is very open, your chakras, your energy centers are very open, you feel like energy is flowing through you, and you feel powerful, and you feel big, and you feel like you're vibrating in such a beyond happy way. It's not just happy, it's beyond, it's a real blissful way. And when you think small and limited and work from your limitations, the total opposite. You feel a contracted feeling. You don't feel so happy. You feel tense. That's when the tension and stress arises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mary's saying, Mary, you know, who writes comments on the prayer blog, says that what things that we think are so remarkable really aren't. They're just natural, like breathing, she says, or connecting to source energy, but we are source, like you say. It's all, and then this thing about we are all one, there's only one of us here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to grasp that because everybody seems so separate, but I know for a fact that that's true, that we are all one.
Mm-hmm. And now let's take that a step further, okay? So let's assume that we all get and we feel in our bodies, in our bones, we really get this, so we are all one. This is not just a concept to us, we're really feeling it. So we're one. And for visualization purposes for the visual people, because I'm one of those, we're going to be a big amoeba, a big blob. We are a giant blob with no boundaries. We just are such a giant blob. So with this gelatinous blob that is us, and we are it. Everything is the blob. We just, the parts of the blob think itself into looking like particular things. So, you know, the world that we see is a part of the blob that thought itself into looking like the earth and then the things that are on the earth. So, but really what is this big blob. So we're there. We exist, and really, we're all that exists, this giant, giant, big one thing, this one conscious living organism.
Wow.
How can there be time?
No, that's true. Well, we know that time does not exist at all.
Right. No.
And maybe that's the main reason why it's so hard for people like us to fit into these molds, like a job, for instance. I mean, I constantly am amazed that I still have a full-time job because I'm just not the type to have one, really.
You're just amazed that you can, like, be on a schedule like that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Yes. And because that world is just so, it's a figment of everybody's imagination, you know, the way that people get all upset about things and they become gossipy and all the things that people do in these places, it's becoming less and less interesting to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that maybe something's happening within my life that will eventually bring me out of it. And that would be so cool. But I mean, I love it. Well, I actually love it because I love my patients and I love taking care of people, but I know I can feel this thing happening where it's not going to go on forever. I mean, obviously it's not, but I just know that it's not. It's limited now, more limited than it ever was before, in terms of me hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel it.
Anything that's built tightly around the construct of time is going to be collapsing.
It's going to collapse,
I can remember
right.
in my life like being so tense and uptight because I lived my life by time. I had to run here, be on time, I had to do this, be on time. Now I purposely make decisions that avoid me having to like do too many things on time. Like I won't make a lot of appointments where I know there's a lot of factors like that'll get in there, like, oh, there could be like a lot of traffic between here and there, and I got to be somewhere on time. I mean, I'll do it, you know, and I won't avoid them, you know, completely, but I won't make that my life's work because
yes.
it's very stressful. Because then what happens is time begins to dominate your life, and time is man-made concept/illusion. And when illusion dominates your life that heavily, your life can never be happy, in flow, fulfilled, blissful. It can't be because illusion just doesn't have those components to it. You know,
I would also say that a breakdown is inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the people that are the most stressed out, tend to end up with the most health issues, per se, they're the ones that are living most tightly to...
Mm-hmm.
According to this concept and illusion of time, they live their life on this schedule of time. And as time is changing, if we didn't live our lives according to this schedule that's made up of time, we wouldn't feel stressed if time is accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
If time feels like it's speeding up or collapsing in on itself, we would just be going with the flow of whatever's happening. We only notice that because we're looking at it compared to the measurement, and the measuring increments that we had no longer seem to fit. That's really what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not that time is speeding up. Time is the concept of time is losing its grip, and so time is collapsing in on itself or moving more towards its true state, which is simultaneous, no time, and these increments that we've lived our lives by and still have in place don't fit anymore. So it's like we're trying to squeeze into clothes that are 2 sizes or 10 sizes too small. It's not comfortable at all.
Right.
It's stressful.
I had a precious friend one time took off her watch. She just refused. She didn't have clocks in her house, and she did not wear a watch.
Good for her.
And how was she?
Was she happier?
Yeah.
Oh, she was fabulous. A very deeply spiritual, wonderful lady. But, she just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that anymore. Huh?
That's very interesting. I would love to do that. As it is now, though, with the time constraints of my job as a nurse, and I'm sure this is true of all kinds of nursing, but just as an example of what I do, when a baby is born, you have to put down the time. No matter whatever the doctor's doing, you put down the time. Whatever I'm doing, you put down the exact time. When the mother's spontaneously ruptures her membrane, or when maybe the doctor artificially ruptures her membrane, you have to put the exact time. Oh my God, it goes on and on and on. The exact time for this. The exact time for this. You can't look at your watch for the exact time, nor can you look at the clock on the wall for the exact time. The time must be gotten from a monitor that is in the room, and what is so stupid about that is that every monitor throughout the hospital has a little different time.
Oh,
oh for God's sake. It's so hysterical. Oh, my God. I think time is fascinating. The way my job just buys into it.
Yeah,
totally.
I want to interrupt
Pressured.
You. Now, contrast
yeah.
what you're doing with having to document every single minute and every happening with this time stamp, right?
Yeah,
look
time
at the
stamp,
animals.
Right.
The animals are out there. They're giving birth in flow. They're having. Yeah. They're living their lives in flow. They birth their puppies, their kittens, whatever they're doing, their babies in flow.
Yeah.
They don't sit there. You know, it just flows. It's natural. They don't have a sense of, I've got to document this, my God, my first labor pain. And they make a scratch in the sand. And then as that first baby comes out, they make another scratch in the sand. No. No, they don't think that. They're in the moment. They're there.
Oh,
they're experiencing
yeah.
it. They're in flow. Whereas us, totally out of flow because we're totally stuck on this time. We're attaching this fake thing, this illusion, to something that's so real. This flow of life.
It's hysterical, isn't it?
It is very hysterical, and it really points out, you know, one of the big dilemmas of the human culture, and that how can we really be happy and in flow when we are letting, you know, these man-made illusions be what is so, you know, the hierarchy, the controlling and ruling factor in our life.
Yeah.
Can't.
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
And I know that exploring this is a way of fully embracing and taking responsibility for the fact that it's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I can say about it. It just is total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just love it. I love this topic. I just love it.
Well, good. Me too. And even if people just experience freedom from time and stepping out of the concept for an hour to 90 minutes, then that experience is going to change them forever because they're just going to have stepped out of it for that, and they may never have stepped out of it before. And it's really interesting because now I'm odd because I've never really encountered someone that is this extreme, but I know there's got to be other people. I was born and never got the concept of time, you know, but I was also born and remained very connected to source. I never, ever got time. I have never been able to tell the difference between 1 minute and 10 minutes, 1 minute and 20 minutes, 5 minutes and an hour. I have no sense of the difference at all. It's not until I look at a clock, and I don't have to be doing something that I'm so wrapped up in that I love.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm doing, I just go with the flow of it, and then I look and I go, oh, my God, 2 hours are gone. What happened? Where did it go? You know, and I freak out then because the rest of the world lives by this, these increments, you know. And I also, that translates to I have no idea, no concept of how old anyone in my family is.
Mm.
I don't. I have to sit there with a calculator to figure it out. I have no idea. I have no, a calculator. I have no idea of how old I am, and my family tells me all the time. If they weren't telling me, I have no idea. I don't necessarily remember even my own birthday sometimes, unless someone keeps pointing out, you know, what day we're at. And this is not just because I'm getting older. I don't want to remember how old I was. It's been all my life. I remembered how old I was up to the point I was 21, because that was the big one. You know, every year meant something then. So every time I had a birthday, I'm like, okay, now I can do this year. Now I can drive. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I can vote.
Go
okay, good. 21's coming. 21's coming. Now I can drink. Okay, good. I can go out. You know, I'm legal. After that, there was no reason to remember anything, and I forgot. And I stayed 21 for years. You know, it wasn't until I was out getting an apartment with the person I was rooming with at the time, and we were looking at something, we were signing the lease, and it said, you know, put down your age, and I put down the last age I remembered being, which is 21. Well, we were the same age, and she's 25. You're not 21. And I said, of course I'm 21. So I don't remember being anything else. No, really, we're the same age. And she made me calculate it, and I was shocked. I was stunned. I had no idea.
Oh,
I had no reason. It's just so funny because I had no reason to remember it anymore because there was nothing big coming, you know, no more big things. That was it. 21 was it. After that, you know, what else happened? Nothing, you know.
That's funny.
Now you can expand. You can expand into the, you know, cosmos.
Right, exactly. So it was just hysterical, but it is, it's true, because if someone asks me, well, how old is your brother? I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking right now, I don't know. I have to calculate it. I really don't know. And because I'm not the greatest with the math, I have to pull out the calculator.
Well,
I mean,
you would have to remember their birth year.
If I know how old I am, I can calculate it. So if I can remember how old I am, but if I can't remember how old I am, well, then we have a real problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But remembering their birth
year,
actually, I do remember my brother's birth year for some reason. I think that's his birth year, but I'm not sure.
Speaking of medicine, you know, you, the whole world of medicine is totally, to my mind, it's like really regimented. So, okay, the whole thing about time. Another thing they do is, you know, they say, well, what is your name? What is your date of birth? Where were you born? And who's the president of the United States? You know, who cares? And so if you don't answer,
this is when you're you're admitting someone. You're saying,
yeah. So if
okay.
if you don't answer, if the patient doesn't answer those questions correctly, everybody says, oh my God, she's lost it somewhere, or you know, she needs to go into a nursing home, or you know, just bullshit. I mean, the thing is that people are not allowed to expand in our society without their children, without the doctors, without people noticing that you're a little strange. You just have to be careful of them, because they'll want to institutionalize you or think that you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you got to be aware that it's not accepted or not normally accepted or commonplace for people to think like this. So that if you are thinking, you know, a little differently, or you're expanded beyond the normal constrictions and restrictions and limitations, to just be sensitive to the fact that others might not be able to resonate with that. That's all.
Yeah, and then I had a friend who thought she was a really great person that I work with. She thought that she, and she's maybe in her 60s, so she thought that she was forgetting things. So, and Mary was just mentioning here in the chat room about the mental status exams. Well, she went and took a mental status exam, and the thing lasted for hours.
Wow.
To the point where if they didn't break you down within the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes or, you know, however long, by the second hour or more, you are so exhausted. Your mind is so frazzled because they're asking you questions like, you know, puzzle pieces and, you know, what if you do this, you do that, and fitting lines within a clock, or, you know, you're bound to break down. And then they say, okay, you have Alzheimer's.
Great.
I'm serious. It's insane.
I remember when Mom first took the Alzheimer's test, and she did have it, but at a very young age. But they asked her who was the president of the United States, and she told them, she said, I don't know and I don't care. My husband takes care of that.
Oh, I love it.
She meant every word of it. You know?
That's wonderful. I love it. Oh, that is great.
My mother had a stroke, and they came around and they said, who's the president of the United States? At the time, it was Ronald Reagan. She goes, she used to call him the fertilizer head. So she had lost her ability to articulate. This was really funny. They said, who's the president of the United States? She goes, the shithead. So she still had it together, but, you know, they'd all laugh.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You could actually use that for any of them.
I know. They're all the same, you know?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
They just look a little different on the outside, but it's really the same person, I'm convinced. Those term limits have no control over them. They just change what they look like and then get reelected.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what color, what size,
right,
or
tall,
whatever.
Skinny,
they're all the same.
Fat. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. Glasses, no glasses.
But yeah, that's all. You know, it's all part of it's very regimented, and I think we just have to hang out with like-minded people who understand that we don't want to fit into that world.
Right, right. That's what's important, is always like to have your wellspring of people that, you know, are like-minded, that you can go to. So it's kind of like getting, you know, going to a cool spring and getting a drink of fresh water and, you know, not having to drink that contaminated, you know, chlorinated, chemical-treated water out of the faucet. And just rejuvenating your body and just rejuvenating your spirit. And it's nice. And it enables you to be able to live again and you know, function again in that world. And it's also very freeing when you know that, yeah, you're living in that world. And, yes, it's an illusion. And, yes, it's a construct. you know,
yeah.
And but this is what you're doing right now because this is, you know, how it is right here and right now, and this is, you know, what you, you know, need to do at the moment, and it's perfectly okay, and just, and you can just appreciate how much better off you are with that freedom. Because you realize that you realize you're choosing to do it. You realize that it's, you know, it is a construct. It doesn't have that grip over you. Think of the person that doesn't realize that and doesn't make the conscious choice. You know, it's got a death grip over them, and, you know, can lead to all sorts of stress and anxiety, and it's very hard to have blissful moments when you've got that living like that.
Right. I know.
So.
And people believe it. They believe it.
Yeah, they do. They believe it. They live their lives as if it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's unfortunate. So I can't wait.
You're right. You are right about the fact that more and more people are not living that way, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all. It's all a natural process as the, you know, the planet's frequency moves upward. And what happens as it moves upward is it becomes more expansive into the higher dimensions with a more broader thinking, and we're able to, as we get broader, you know, we become broader and our thinking is broader, our consciousness widens, we're able to have more in there at once, so we can experience more moments of simultaneous time, which we call serendipity, which we might call telepathy, which we might call like clairvoyance, remote viewing, you know, all these types of things, all these things that we say, oh, these are our powers. They're not our powers, they're just being that we're bigger, we're more expansive, and so therefore we experience more at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we also experience more bliss and more happiness too, and it's just nicer. It's the natural evolution of things moving towards this. So as we grow and as we evolve and go with the flow of the evolution, we are going to feel this, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's nice because everybody's going there. With the planets on, you know, we're set now. We're on the course. There's no getting off the track at this point. It's like the train's on the track and it's moving. So
mm-hmm.
we're all going there. So it's just that some people are in the back of the train, way down, you know, the 100,000th car down in the caboose end, and they haven't expanded as much yet as those that are in the more front end cars. Well, we're all on the same
yeah.
train.
Yeah. Well, people are really going to hang on, I think.
Yeah.
To the time thing, and they'll hang on to the regiment.
Well, to some degree, I think that as they move forward, as they begin to evolve, its grip is going to loosen, and no one's comfortable with time. No human being, no consciousness is comfortable being squeezed into little increments.
Mm-hmm.
If they act like they are, or say they are, they're lying. They're deluding
yeah.
themselves because it's not a natural thing to, you know, be comfortable there as consciousness. So as we become more of an expression of the vast consciousness that we are, it's going to become less comfortable, and people are going to naturally gravitate towards stepping outside of that and seeing something beyond the little increments.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, and Mary just emphasized this, that we... The challenge would be to find freedom even within the constraints that people formally agreed upon, but now aren't agreeing on it so much
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to ask you, so how's Ulysses doing in all this conversation? I don't know if this
is
thrilling
to him. He's lying right next to me. Well, of course, time is not, doesn't exist for him.
Right.
He
just feels the energy.
Yes, and he is just lying there. He is so sweet. He's a sweet, sweet dog and gotten sweeter and sweeter.
Is he watching
and,
everything?
Yeah, he's not asleep. He's lying there with his eyes wide open, and he seems to be listening.
Okay.
Actually, I personally do find this to be very exciting, and so he's maybe taking excitement about the whole thing. I think it's totally, totally thrilling. I don't know why. I always have thought that this conversation...
Well, I'm gonna send him some energy of puppydom, puppyhood.
Okay, okay.
Some puppy energy. All right?
Good.
So I'm just going to do that and see if he feels it. How's he doing?
His eyes are wide open. He's still lying there. He's just, relaxing. And
did he seem to notice anything different or new just coming through to him?
No, I think what he'll do is over time, over the evening, he will become, he'll just be more tuned in. That's the way it will work.
Okay. Okay.
I
would love to hear a bark. He doesn't bark much, does he?
He's not the one who barks, no. The other guy used to bark a lot.
The other one was the barker.
The last show, mine went wild. Did you hear that, Kate?
I did remember that.
Yeah.
Your little guy.
Both of them. Yep. Well, they were both after it. Somebody was at the door.
I got to ask you something. The two of you, relative to time, what was the experience like being with that beautiful oak tree? Because that oak tree has lived through so much of what we call linear time. And, as it's grown, as it's evolved, the energy that it contains, the experience that it's seen, the knowing that it has, it communicates in a different language than we humans. It doesn't use the words that we use, but it communicates. What did you feel being around that big oak tree?
Certainly. I found that it was, I sat down and wrote a prayer that just flowed right out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just totally meditative immediately. And it was totally timeless. And everybody who was there walking through, they were all very friendly and people stopped to chat, and Joan was the welcoming committee for the tree that day. Everybody was just having a great old time. And I took more pictures of the tree that I haven't put on the prayer blog. The tree really did remind me of an elephant, of Ganesha, the Hindu god of success, the lord of success. And I just felt like there was a real gift there of this tree. The tree was giving us rays of total, timelessness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel love?
Yeah. I think timelessness is love. There is that sense of being in an expansive universe when you're in nature anyway, but this was the oldest tree, probably the oldest live oak is what I gather on the earth.
Wow.
I walked away from it, and I always do the same thing. It's feeling small in the realm of things.
Wow.
And yet totally filled and inspired.
Right.
If that makes any sense. It's almost like a when they're opposites, but it feels right.
Yeah,
feels
it's like
very
a human
whole
you.
And very right.
The human you.
Yeah, like looking at the stars.
Feels small.
It's the same. Yeah. In this huge universe.
Don't forget. One thing, Joan took. I took a picture of Joan with her arms up in the air, and the sunbeam hit your hand.
Yes.
In such a way.
What hit her hand?
Oh, light.
A light. Yeah.
A light. You've got to see that picture.
Where is that picture?
It should be.
Where is it?
I've got to find it, and I'll post that. That was the.
Right. If I took that picture, I must have it.
Have taken it, Kate, because
I
didn't
have
a camera.
Put it up on the I think I have it.
And it's
here
my left hand.
Out. Yes.
It's my
but
left
don't
hand.
Don't forget, I was teaching.
You guys keep talking at the same time.
I know. It's terrible.
I know. I was telling them, teaching Joan and her daughter, Kathy, how to do this treatment that I know. And Joan really didn't believe that she was a healer. And I believe that this light beam hitting her hand was verification from the universe that she is a healer.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was
okay.
Real
is that cool?
Interesting. It was real one of those, when you see a picture and you go, there's a message in that. That's
I got to see this.
It felt like, oh, wow, what have we just taken a picture of here?
Right.
It's like
you take a picture and there's like 10 spirits around you or 10
right.
like light beings. And I'm like, where did they come from?
We took pictures
exactly.
of the angels one time, and Monica and I, and we had both been reading the How to Write to Your Angels book.
Uh-huh.
And we went for a walk that afternoon and just took pictures. And honestly, when those pictures came out, I mean, you could just see them. It's like they're in the pictures.
Oh my gosh.
you just get cold chills every time. You think, golly, Moses.
Wow.
And I think we don't,
oh my gosh.
You know, we just don't have a clue about things like that. Do we? You know, all we can do is be awed and inspired by it and move on.
They're all there. They're all there always. It's just that we have learned to, we've been taught, we've been shut down to use only our five senses. If you look at a baby, Kate's around them all the time, you've got an opportunity to do this. Look into their eyes, Kate. They're not seeing you. They're seeing the energy that you are. You're not a body to them. You are moving energy, and so is everything in the room. They haven't labeled everything yet. They haven't stuffed it into a container or a shape. They haven't learned to that a human being is this shape, has this arms and legs and mouth that moves, and that a chair looks like this, and it's that approximately this big, that size, these many shapes. And they haven't learned that, so all they see is energy. And if you look in their eyes, you'll see they're not quite focusing on things where they're understanding it. They're in amazement. Everything they look at, they're in awe of. Their eyes are open real wide, and they're just taking it all in. They're just absorbing it.
And they're very loving.
But look in their, if you watch their eyes, you will actually be able to see. If you can really do it, you got to transcend your five senses to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually looking at Source. You will see Source shining through their eyes, looking at you. It's like you're looking at Source in the shape of this little body right there, present there, blessing you with His presence, just shining its light on you.
Yep,
and it's
I have seen
totally
that. Yep.
Incredible.
It is. It's just miraculous. It happens every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, then they're born, and they're here.
Yeah.
And from the moment they're here, they start getting talked to with words.